Welcome. Good to see everybody this morning. We've been doing a summer series called Live to Give. How many knew that? Good. You're paying attention. Great. And it all really boils down to love and the different ways that we love by telling others about Christ, by forgiving others, by being patient. And today we're going to talk about being kind, having loving kindness one for the other. How many could stand to receive some kindness? I think everybody's going to say I could. How many could stand to be on the giving end of kindness? Two hands up. Okay, I agree. Well, I hope this morning that you're going to take some notes. There's a tablet in front of you. I'd love for you to take that tablet. I'd love you to write these scriptures down, because it's as we study God's word and get his word into us that we are changed. Okay? We got to study his word. We've got to learn what it has to say. And in that, we learn to live like Christ, to be little ambassadors, to live to give. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word this morning. And I thank you for truth this morning. I thank you that your truth sets me free. It sets us free. And I, again, Lord, I'm so thankful for every heart that's here this morning, the ears that are open, the eyes that are open to see you high and lifted up, to see you touch their situation, touch their homes, touch their health, touch their finances, touch their relationships. Jesus, we come into this place to worship you, and we come in this place to receive from you. Even as we give, we receive. So I pray that we be attentive, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would work on our hearts, opening us up to your truth. And I'm praying this so, Jesus, you would be glorified in my friends and in my life. In your name I ask these things. Amen. The first passage I want you to write down is 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read 7 through 13. And this is really this is called the love chapter. This is the whole bottom line of what love is and what love isn't. I challenge you to put this passage to memory. It'll be a game changer for you, because it's as we hide God's word in our heart that he keeps us from sinning. It comes up to remind us how to live, how to walk. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm reading out of the Living Bible, verses 7 through 13. Love is very patient and kind. Never jealous or envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. You know, it just came to me as a thought that we could have our hands up saying, okay, I'm going to take the love test. And as soon as we couldn't pass the test, our hands would go down. I think already we all know where we would be. It's not jealous or envious or boastful or proud or haughty or selfish or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. Anybody's hands still up? It does not hold grudges. Hands down. And will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. Yeah, right. It's never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Here's the test. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him or her, always expect the best of him, and you will always stand your ground in defending him or her. So how we doing? How we doing on loving? Okay, 1 to 10, where are you at? That's why we sing deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Help me to go higher in you and deeper in you. Because without you, zero. I cannot do it. Loser. I cannot do this without you, Holy Spirit. You know, this passage talked a lot about the nots, the do not. Do not demand your own way. Do not hold grudges. Never do this. Do not do that. But did you notice the two things that it says that love is? Patient and kind. We've talked about patient. Remember your patient plate? We had plates and we were going to hand out love on our patient plates. Well, I'd like us to consider this morning how we could deliberately focus on intentionally being kind, kind-hearted, showing loving kindness. As Pastor already mentioned, if you look around, there are several people that are gone traveling. I was hoping that you would be here for his potluck, so I'm glad you came for his birthday party. But there are a number that said they were going to be gone and had other things just on the calendar. This is the time, such a time as this, is it to go and enjoy Oregon and all of the U.S. of A. There's folks in Florida soaking up some, probably humid. It's humid in Florida. I'm saying they have that torrential rain at about 11 o'clock, and it just is humid. It's like a tropical down there. They can have it. Amen. I'm just saying they can have it. Well, we were privileged to celebrate with Dennis and Linda yesterday, who celebrated 50 years of marriage. They've been married 50 years. That's a milestone. We've been married 40, going on 41, and I said, we're chasing you guys down, hopefully to get caught up with you. But you know, I was talking to Monique and their daughter, Shelley, how long they have been planning for this occasion. They had this on the calendar 6 months ago, because they were going to have it at the church, and then they found out that there were so many people coming from out of state that it really became a family reunion. And so they had it in their home, in their huge backyard, and it was like, I said, is it really just a family reunion, and they called it your anniversary? Because people came from all over, people that hadn't seen each other for a long time. It was a wonderful celebration. But believe me, they had planned, and they thought ahead. Decorations, food, games even, table coverings, everything. Have you ever been planning a party? Oh yeah, event. And it's on your mind a lot when it's a special occasion that's coming. I know Jerry's 80th, you planned. It was beautiful. It was on your radar to think about all the details. And that's what it's like when we're planning a special event, a wedding, an anniversary, a birthday, a graduation. We plan, and it is definitely, we don't sleep at night. We're thinking constantly. Anybody? What about if you're going to travel? Anybody like to travel? Okay, anybody like to cruise? Okay, there's some saying. Well, my folks are in a very special place in their life right now where they get to do that and take time off as they're retired. And Dad will plan trips a year out, Dad? 2 years out. 2 years out, and he will search for the best deals and the best itinerary and the best places to stay. And he was in travel for a number of years, so he knows his business. But he thinks about it a lot. And when you're going to take a trip, you do the same thing. It's on your radar. You're thinking about it, planning, constantly focused. How many have ever done a remodel project? Anybody? Yeah, I know you have. Okay, so there. Okay, you've remodeled something. Have you thought about it? Have you drawn up plans? Have you considered? Have you looked at things? Have you looked at ideas? Anybody? Built on a deck or an addition? I remember when we were living in Lebanon, we had a one-story home, and we were going to add on quite a nice size family room and bedroom, and we were going to go two-story. So as we were drawing up plans and had a contractor in and kind of going through things, I found myself, whenever we would commute from Lebanon to Albany, which was 30 minutes for work and church, both ways, that we'd take an hour, I would look at every house. I would look at how they added, if they were a single story, if they added a two-story, how did they do that and make it look like it hadn't been an afterthought? I mean, I would look constantly. I was constantly focusing and keeping my radar out to look at, okay, I wonder if that's an addition. Yeah, I think it is. How did they do that? Is it above the garage? You know what I'm saying? When you're thinking about something, you're focused. You're watching out for all those kinds of things. Well, I did the same thing. Now, you guys, when you're going fishing and hunting, what are you thinking about? Honey, you're going fishing. In 1 week, you're going to be in Minnesota with your entire family, all your siblings, your nephews, your nieces. Some of your kids are going, some of your grandkids are going, and you're going to fish for an entire week. Have you thought about that? Yes, he has. I'll tell you what, he gets his tackle. Are we bringing the fish finder? He's hoping to get a fish finder, but now he's thinking his son-in-law has got him something like an app on his phone, right? That will be like a fish finder. I said, there's something wrong about a cell phone in a boat as a fish finder. I mean, I told him, just bring your rice bag, because I know if you're like out there going, I don't know, but trust me, he's planning. In between moving and all the things we've been busy doing, he has been planning what to bring. If you're a hunter, you guys, you know, you get your ammo, your food, your location, your maps. My point being, whatever you're focused on, you're going to be thinking on that, okay? You're thinking and you're planning. Gals, have you ever changed your hairdo? Guys, never mind. Some of you, you can either comb it this way, this way, or this way, or this way. Maybe you need to comb it this way. But the girls, we can change our hairdo. So they will look at other people and think, well, I wonder if that style would be good on me. I wonder if that color would be good on me. We focus, when we're thinking about a hairdo, on hairdos. We might look at pictures. Well, lately, I've been focusing on something that I have never focused on in my entire life. You want to guess what it is then? Say? Kindness. A plus. But before kindness, I was focused on parking lots. I have never paid attention when I've driven into Safeway about their parking lot, how it looks, how the little stripes go, how the little bumpers go. Don't you know, I'm pulling into Bi-Mart. I'm driving down the street looking at their little... Because we've been doing parking lot this month, okay? Isn't that funny? So that's where my focus has been. That's what I've been thinking about. Joyce Myers has a quote, and it says, where the mind goes, the man follows. I want to talk to you about some emotions this morning. In your mind, if you're angry at someone, you'll be thinking about what they did to hurt you, what they did to tick you off. And possibly even how you can get even or just write them off. If they're in there, if those thoughts, those negative emotions are in there, you're going to be focused on that anger. Let it go. I would like for us instead this morning to consider focusing on kindness. I challenge you, in fact, to choose kindness. Kindness means to be friendly, to be generous, and to be considerate. I'm going to break this into three different aspects this morning. The power of praising God for His loving kindness. We're going to talk about a prayer of kindness for pre-Christians. And we're going to talk about practicing random acts of kindness. I have a favorite story in the Bible. It's found in 2 Chronicles 20. If you could write that passage down, I'd love you to just read this. Grab a hold of this passage. Let it change you like it did me. The power of worship in the midst of warfare, in the midst of odds that were so against King Jehoshaphat, that they found that God alone would fight the battle. And there's somebody's that needs to hear this word this morning. The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Listen with me as I read 2 Chronicles 20. Later on, the armies of the kings of Moab, so the Moabites, the Ammonites, and the Menunites declared war on Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. Word reached Jehoshaphat that a vast army is approaching. They are marching against you from behind the Dead Sea from Syria. And it is already too in Gedi. Does that ring a bell? Do you feel like there's any enemy marching and it's that close? Fear, anxiousness, worry, poverty, sickness. Jehoshaphat was badly shaken. Anybody? Anybody been badly shaken of late? You know what I'm talking about. Jehoshaphat was badly shaken by this news, and he determined to beg for help from the Lord. So he announced that all of the people of Judah should go without food for a time in penance and in intercession before God. People from all across the nation came to Jerusalem to plead unitedly with him. Jehoshaphat stood among them as they gathered at the new court of the temple, and he prayed this prayer. O God of our fathers, the only God in all of the nations, the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth, you are powerful and you are mighty. Who can stand against you? I want to stop right there and say, men and women, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We need to talk to ourselves. We need to declare who our God is. He is mighty to save. He is all powerful. Thank you. He is a mighty, mighty God. And that is exactly what Jehoshaphat did. Who can stand against you? He said, our God, didn't you drive out the heathen who lived in this land when your people arrived? And didn't you give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and they built this temple for you, truly believing it was going to be in a time like this, whenever we faced any calamity such as war, disease, or famine, that we could stand here before this temple and before you, for you are here in this temple, and we would cry out to you to save us. And we knew that you would hear us and you would rescue us. We need to be saying this, friends. We need to be telling our enemy. We need to be speaking this truth out. God, you will save us. You have promised. Stand on God's word. He goes on to say, and now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You wouldn't let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So we ran around and we didn't destroy them. And now see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave to us. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We have no way to protect ourselves against this mighty army. We don't know what to do, but we are looking to you. Where's your focus? Where's your focus? Are you looking today to Christ, to God? As the people from every part of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon a man who was standing there, Jehaziel. He was the son of Zechariah. And this is what the prophet said. Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat. He exclaimed, the Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't be paralyzed by this mighty army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Somebody better say amen. If you're not there now, you're gonna be. And you need to know who fights with you and for you, who goes before you. Amen, amen. God Almighty. Don't be afraid. Don't be paralyzed by this mighty army. Name your army. Name your it. What is coming against you? Discouragement. Frustration. Fear. Anxiousness. Grief. Who is for you? Mighty God. He said, tomorrow go down and attack them. You will find them coming up the slopes of Ziz. And I was glad it wasn't the land of Oz, but it was the slopes of Ziz, Z-I-Z. At the end of the valley, it opens up into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not need to fight. Take your places and stand quietly and see the incredible rescue operation God will perform for you, O people of Lions, of Mahama, of Staten, of Sio. Mill City, name it, name it, name it. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You can count on him. It says, don't be afraid or be discouraged. I come against discouragement. I come against fear. People, grab a hold of whose you are. Come on. You're children of the Most High God. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out there tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. That is your word. Write it down. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat, he fell to the ground with his face to the earth. And all of the people of Judah and all of the people of Jerusalem did the same, worshiping their God. They worshiped the Lord. Then the Levites of the Kohath clan and the Korin clan, they stood to praise the Lord God of Israel with songs of praise that rang out strong and clear. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. They were on their way when Jehoshaphat stopped and he called them to attention. He said, listen to me. Listen to me, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. He said, believe in the Lord your God. Believe in the Lord your God and you will have success. Believe. 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 Believe his prophets and everything will be all right. After consultation with the leaders of the people, he determined that there should be a choir leading the march, clothed in sanctified garments. Those are garments set apart for Christ, for the Lord. And they were to sing this song. His loving kindness endures forever. And as they walked along praising and thanking the Lord, he said at that very moment that they began to sing and praise, the Lord caused the armies of the Ammonites, the Moabites, Mount Seir, they were confounded, they were confused, and they began to fight each other. They began to destroy each other. For the Ammonites and the Moabites turned against their allies from Mount Seir and they killed every one of them. And when they had finished the job, they turned against each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the watchtower that overlooks the wilderness, as far as they could look, there were dead bodies lying all over the ground. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Praise God. King Jehoshaphat and his people went out to plunder the bodies and they came away loaded with money, garments, and jewels stripped from the corpses. So much that it took them 3 days. 3 days to cart it all away. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, as it is called today, and they praised the Lord. Then they returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, full of joy that the Lord had given them this marvelous rescue from their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem, accompanied by bands of harps and lyres and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple. And as had happened before, when the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God fell on them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was quiet, for God had given him rest. Is that your new favorite passage? Maybe you've known that passage before, but I'm telling you, when you get a hold of the power of praise in the midst of what you're going through, I have done that. I have taken my little red blanket, which represented the blood of Jesus, and I got on my little red couch, which is the blood of Jesus. I pulled that little blanket over me, and I'd just praise. I'd praise him for an hour. I've gotten in my car before, and the Lord said, just praise me for an hour. Just drive and praise me. Because the situation seemed so hopeless, so dark, full of despair. I was so afraid. And the Lord said, you worship me through this one. You worship me. You worship me. You praise me. In the good times, in the bad times, he gives and he takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. More than conquerors is when your enemy is not only defeated, but it takes you 3 days to get all the loot. That's more than a conqueror. Amen. God works all things out for your good and for his glory as we worship, worship, worship. So I want you to name your ite today. What's your ite? Do you have an illness or a disease? Ait. Depression? Ait. Worry? Ait. Are you overwhelmed? Some fear, anger, despair, brokenness, poverty? I'll tell you what, those are our enemies. Okay? Those are our enemies. John 10:10 says that Satan, our enemy, comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But the Lord said, I have come to give you life in abundance to the full, running over. The enemy comes. He's going to try to kill relationships, steal, rob your joy, rob your peace. Because he knows the word says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if he can get your joy, he gets your power. He gets your peace, he gets your power, he gets your strength. He's going to go after that. The kingdom of God is our authority. We're to walk in that authority. We're to know who we are. And we're to trust in him and believe in him. He said, believe and you will have success. They fought by worshiping. They fought by praising and singing. Thy loving kindness, O Lord, endures forever. I've talked before about, I don't know if there's going to be cinemas or movies in heaven, but if there is, I want to watch that one. I want to watch that happen. Do you not want to see that? Be there and see the Lord as the armies, the vast, the sound of praise ascended. And the Lord came down, powerful as they praised. There is power in praising him for his kindness. Be deliberate, be on purpose. Praise him that he is wonderfully patient, that he is awesome. Think about the kindness of God, the grace, the mercy that doesn't give us what we deserve. How kind he is over and over and over again. There is a blessing that comes when we praise him in the midst of, despite what's going on. And that's the first place I want us to consider starting. We focus on kindness. Praise him for his loving kindness. Step two. Hopefully you're taking notes. First is the power of praising him for his kindness. Step two. I want us to consider how we are praying for pre-Christians to come to know the Lord. The prayer of kindness. You don't need to show me your hands, but I wonder if you're praying for somebody and it's been a while. I think the thought sometimes comes to our heart to pray the prayer, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. But I thought about that, and I guess there may be a scripture verse that says, pray whatever it takes. But in looking at the scriptures at prayers that Paul wrote, the Lord taught us, the prayer that I found was found in Romans 2:4. And I want you to write Romans 2:4 down. I'm reading it out of the Amplified Version. And I would like you to add this to your prayers of how you pray for the lost, the pre-Christians. It says, do you have no regard for the wealth of his kindness and his tolerance? And his patience in withholding his wrath? Are you actually unaware or ignorant of the fact that it's God's kindness that leads you to repentance? His kindness leads you to change your inner self, your old way of thinking. It's his kindness that causes you to seek purpose for your life. Another translation says, or are you blind as to trifle with and presume upon and despise and underestimate the wealth of his kindness and his forbearance and his long-suffering patience? Are you unmindful and actually ignorant of the fact that it's God's kindness that is intended to lead you to repent, to change your mind and your inner man to accept God's will? What is it that draws us, people? It's his kindness. It's his goodness that draws me to repentance. Yes, we pray for people to have the fear of the Lord and maybe a whatever it takes, but start praying that they'll be aware of his kindness, his goodness, his mercy that follows them every way, every day of their life that is new and set before him every morning. Pray for your loved ones. Pray for the lost to know his loving kindness. Be deliberate. This will lead others. Ephesians is another great passage. Ephesians 3, please write down Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. We sang this morning. God is so faithful to put this in song before us. Paul writes, "When I think of the wisdom and the scope of his plan, I fall on my knees and I pray to the Father of all the great family of God, some of them already in heaven and some of them here on earth. I pray that out of his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will give you the mighty inner strengthening of his Holy Spirit." Pray this prayer over people. "And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts. It would live within you as you trust him, and may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love." Pray this for me. "May you be able to feel and understand, as all of God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, how high his love really is." Pray it. Pray it. Pray it. He goes on to say that I would pray that you would experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or you will fully understand it. Never. "And so at last you will be filled up with God himself. Now, glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare ask or think or dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hope. May he be given glory forever and ever through endless ages because of his master plan of salvation for the church through Jesus Christ." Pray that prayer for me. Pray that prayer for your loved ones. Pray that prayer for your neighbor, your boss. You know, I was reviewing the Bible studies that the girls have done this year. We started with War Room, all about prayer, getting into that secret closet place, praying the word, praying and praying. We went on to the armor of God, the first thing being prayer, prayer, prayer. Now, as the men and women are doing together, the bait of Satan, praying for your enemies, praying for those that have hurt you. The common theme is prayer, you guys. But I had someone come up to me, and they were talking about the situation, family, troubles, trials, things that just never seem to change, year after year after year. And I asked this person, I said, "Are you praying for them?" Well, what are we thinking, you guys? Do we just come and hear about prayer? Do we just come and study about prayer? Talk about prayer? Or do we pray? We must be more than hearers. God says to be doers. We need to be doers of the word, doing what is right. Number one, let's praise him for his loving kindness. Number two, let's pray for hearts to experience his kindness. Number three, let's practice random acts of kindness. And everybody said? And I think we could not only practice random acts, but we could stand to have some premeditated, on purpose, deliberate, like I plan to do this. Okay? Not just random, what comes to mind, but practice deliberate acts of kindness. Please write down Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. I'm going to read out of the Living Bible once again. Stop. Stop being mean and bad-tempered and angry, quarreling, harsh words, and the dislike of others. These things should have no place in your lives. Instead, be kind. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Jesus Christ. Please write down Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12 says, since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, this is what you're to do. You should practice tender-hearted mercy and kindness to others. Don't worry about making a good impression on them, but be ready to suffer. Suffer quietly and patiently. Basically, no strings attached. No strings attached. We're going to be kind without being noticed. Because if we want an applause, if we want people to see us, if we want people to recognize, if we want to tell people what we did, then there's a string attached. He says, I want you to be kind. Not wondering if they're going to be kind back. Not for man's applause or notice. Not so I can brag about it. No strings attached. Could you say that with me?
No strings attached.
I thought of a few examples. How about being kind in the grocery store when the clerk is training and her receipt tape just broke or ran out? Okay, just be kind. Just be nice. Just be sweet. Okay, instead of body language. Okay, body language. Just saying, just be kind. Just be kind. All right, what about on the phone when you're with a telemarketer or you're on a hold for a repair or something and then you get somebody and you can't really even understand them? Okay, could you just be kind? They're just doing their job. It's their job. And maybe they're on training too. Maybe you're their first customer. Just practice being kind on purpose, deliberate. Think about it. Just like you're thinking about your trip, your vacation, your new hairdo, your new car. You know, you're thinking about getting a new car, so you're looking at cars. You're looking up cars, thinking about cars, looking at cars. Okay, whatever you're thinking about, start thinking about patience and kindness and gentleness and long-suffering. Random acts of kindness. What about at home? Anybody? Could we just stand to take it up a notch and be a little kinder? Kinder? Yeah? I know I could. At the office. What about with your neighbor whose dog, okay? Just saying, fill in the blanks right there, okay? You guys, come on. Really? Really? In the big scope of life, really? Could we just be kind? I think we could. Could hold open a door for somebody, return a cart for an elderly person. We could pay for somebody's groceries or gas that's ahead of us. We could take a meal to somebody. We could send a card of encouragement. Come on, you guys. It's endless. Absolutely endless. Your actions, your words. How about what you don't say or what you don't do? That could be kind. After all, we think about so many things, and I just want to challenge you. I want you on purpose, because I started doing this about a day ago, and Pastor wishes I would have started this about 2 weeks ago. But I just started this about a day ago, really thinking deliberately on purpose about random acts of kindness, being kind, being patient, being loving, okay? I remember I can't remember. Something he spilled. Oh no. I think he trailed in something that was on his feet, like mud or something. And the Lord impressed upon my heart, you need to clean that up. I'm like, I didn't make that mess. Anybody with me? Can somebody just please? Thank you. Two honest people in this whole bunch. Okay. Come on. Would you really clean up somebody else's dirt? And I mean, I know maybe you would. Okay. If you're a clean freak, you would. Okay. But I was thinking, oh, he did it. And the Lord's like, would you just go get the broom and just sweep it up. He's busy. He's tracking. He's doing so many things for you. Oh, for reals. Okay. So I went and I got the broom and the dustpan and I'm ready to clean it up. And about that time he came in the kitchen and he says, oh honey, I made that mess. I'll do it. Yes. But how is that so hard? Really? Think about his loving kindness, you guys. And we're to be little representers, little ambassadors of him. Just do it. No strings attached. Just practice random acts of kindness as well as deliberate acts of kindness. Not for applause, not to be noticed, not to be praised. Just do it. Just do it. I wanted to spend time at the altar today. I wanted to leave a big margin for this because we're going to break down this sermon. I would like that we would go away and we would practice what is preached. And it's important, I believe, to put stakes in the ground. And if you were here on Mom and Dad's anniversary, June 12th, you know what this is all about, when we shredded hurts and unforgiveness and sins and disappointments, and we shred all these things and we put them under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that was a day of change for us. On June 12th, we will never forget, those of us that were here, of that day that we shred. The sound of that shredder going off was powerful. Today's pastor's 20th anniversary of his 39th birthday, July 17. And I want us to put some stakes in the altar that we, this day, we're going to start with praising him. We're going to praise him through the pain. We're going to praise him through the disappointment, in the good times and in the bad times, on mountains high and in valleys low. I'll do the same. I will praise you. When faced with more army and more enemy than we can even fathom, we're going to focus and praise the Most High God. I'm going to invite Pastor to come up and we're going to lead in, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my heart, my life, my hands, and I will praise thy name. I want you to think about where you're at. I'm sure you don't have to think about it. You already know where you're at. You already know what's on your mind. Whether you're thinking about a trip, whether you're thinking about someone that hurts you, whether you're thinking about buying a car or going fishing or a new hairdo or a remodel job, whatever you're thinking on, right now it's time to turn our hearts towards him and focus on worship and praise. Can we stand together?